She gave me way more credit than I deserve. Amen. But it sounds good, doesn't it? Amen. But you know, it's all about the Lord. Amen. Amen. If it had not been for him, amen, I would not be here. I would not come this far. I was not the perfect individual. Amen. I didn't do everything right. God brought me from a very low place and brought me to where I'm at now. And that's where that fire come from. Amen. Amen. I want you to stand with me for just a few minutes because I always like to create an atmosphere for God to move. Amen. And I want you to just grab your neighbor by the hand, get comfortable with your neighbor. And you know, I'm one of them people, I just believe that I didn't come to church to get quiet, and I didn't come to church to be more bound than I was before I came. But actually, church is the place where I found freedom. Amen. Amen. So I don't get stiff in church. Amen. Yeah. I actually, you know, every now and then I say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Do I have a few people? Amen. You're not. When I came to God, he broke every chain. Amen. I'm going to say it again. I said he broke every chain. So that means I don't care what you think about my praise, my prayer, my hallelujah. I'm going to give him one anyhow. Amen. Do I have a few people in here today just not afraid to make some noise? Amen. I love these young faces because I'm in my element. Amen. I love young people. And y'all know if y'all was at the party, y'all wouldn't be all quiet like this. Oh, don't get cute now. You know, you were the life of the party. Mm-hmm. And then get in church, you want to be a mouse. But see, God, he just wanted to sanctify your praise. He didn't want to shut you up. Amen. 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 So if you just give me a little bit, let's just begin to pray for your neighbor. Because I may speak, but you may be your neighbor's breakthrough. Amen. There may be an anointing on you that may change the very life of your neighbor. So begin to speak over your neighbor. Begin to inquire of God, what will you have for your neighbor today? Begin to say, Lord, they may have some bills due. They may have just lost a loved one, or someone they love dearly may have broken their heart. Begin to speak over them and say, God, do it for them. God, do it for them. God, do it for them. Father, move in their life. Touch their mother. Touch their father. Maybe they have a loved one, and because you're connecting to them, you can connect to that loved one. Begin to minister to them today. Come on. Come on, pray for them like you're praying for yourself. Pray for them like you're desperate to see a move of God in somebody else's life. And I just believe that as you pray for them, God is moving on your behalf. God is doing what he needs to do for you. Come on and bless the Lord and pray for your neighbor. Father, touch them. Father, heal them. Father, deliver them. Lord, bring them out of that low place. Somebody's contemplating suicide, but Father, we know you to be a deliverer. If you could just bring that guitar up a little bit. We know you to be a mighty deliverer. We know you to be a God that can change mindset. Lord, somebody's going in the wrong direction, but today, God, we're going to send them in the right direction, God, because your spirit came and met them today, God. Somebody don't know why they're in the place that they are in right now, but Father, we're praying for you, and we're praying that they would move like never before, that you would move like never before in their life. In the magnificent name of Jesus, Lord, do what only you can do, God. Somebody's in a low place. Come on and pray for your neighbor. Come on, intercede for your neighbor. That what you want to see God do for you, say, do it for them, God. Touch their heart. Maybe you know somebody. Begin to pray for somebody that's hurting this morning, that needs healing. Somebody struggling in this room and needs a touch. They can't tell nobody. They can't share it with nobody, but God knows, and today we come in agreement with their deliverance today. We come in deliverance that chain of depression be broken off of them. We come in agreement that confusion be broken off of them. We come in agreement, oh God, that thing that's holding them back from being everything that you predestined them to be broken off of them. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you just do me a favor, just let out a shout. Oh, no. Yeah, that was good for me, but that wasn't good enough for Jesus. If you could let out a real shout. Come on. Come on. I want him to hear him all the way out there on 635. Say, hi, glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. I want my praise to be such that I make my enemies nervous. Amen. Amen. I want my praise to be so crazy that my enemies got to let me go. Amen. Amen. I want everything that comes out of me to make my strongholds get up off of me. Is anybody in church today? So I give God glory in everything that I do, no matter where I stand. You know, praise is the precedence for everything. He said, enter his courts with thanksgiving and what? Praise. And when you begin to praise God and worship God, you get his attention. Amen. God loves when you adore on him and you love on him. You know, it's when you worship, it's not you going to God. He actually comes off the throne to you. Are you hearing me today? And I don't know about you. I've been in some stuff where I needed God to come down and touch me. Amen. I need you to come off of the high place. I need you to come down into the valley with me. Like I said, I wasn't a good guy. I was the guy. I was Paul. Are you in church today? I said, I was Paul, and I got hit off my horse on Damascus, and he rescued me. He blinded me for a few days because he had an assignment for my life. And so all I understand is an encounter with God.
Amen.
Amen. When I come to church, I come to feel him. I come to know him. I come to be delivered. I come to be changed. I come to be changed. I come to be transitioned. Do you hear me today? There is a door waiting on you in your life, and God wants to encounter you and push you through that door. Are you in church today?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go to the book of Acts today. Chapter 17, the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 18. I have my Bible, but it's actually too big for this podium, and I don't want it to fall, so I'm going to use my phone today. Amen. Acts, I don't know if you could give me that up here. Acts chapter 17, verse 18, verse 18. I'm going to go down a little deeper. You can stand if you like. Acts 17, verse 18. Amen. And it says this, it said, then certain philosophers of Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? And other some he seemed to be set forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him in unto Areopagus, saying, maybe know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and I beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they would seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, in him we move, and have our being, as certain also your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I'm going to talk to you today from the thought, live, move, and be in him. Here Paul finds himself in a city where they are worshiping idol gods. He finds himself in a situation where God has got him on assignment. I don't know any believer that has a call of God. There are times when you're on assignment, you don't even know it. You're at the drugstore just picking up your medicine and you're running somebody that need to hear about Jesus. Amen. Amen? And here Paul finds himself and he comes to his attention that in this city that they are worshiping idol gods. And so you have to understand that who he served and what he was speaking on, it was strange to them. And when you begin to talk about Jesus, when you begin to express Jesus and how he was conceived, sometimes it sounds like babble to people that don't believe. Sometimes it sounds like babble to people that are very educated and are trying to serve God with their mind. Because God is very spiritual. He is that, you know, you can know so much, but at the end of your knowing and at the end of yourself, he wants you to have an encounter. He wants you to know him beyond what you know, beyond what you've been told. He wants you to feel him, touch him. He wants to be intimate with you, not just on Sunday. Amen. Okay, I lost all my church right there. He said, but when you preach Jesus and the resurrection, those that don't believe consider your conversation battle. Reason being, Jesus' existence logically doesn't make sense. There are a lot of people that you will encounter when you begin to tell them about your God. It just does not make sense. I got a little clause. If you hear something you like, you can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be afraid to talk to me. I'll talk back. Amen. But it says in 1 Corinthians 1,
in 27, it said, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things to confound these things which are mighty. So God is using things that people think are stupid. Amen. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations and everybody's looking down on us, but you may be a candidate for God to use you for this next season of glory. You may be trying to figure out why you've lost friendships and why people have turned on you, and you've went through all types of things in your family, and God's trying to set you up for a great move of God in your life. Can I get an amen? And sometimes we don't understand why God allows us to go through things, and he lets everybody see what's going on in our closet. No, you didn't want people to know you were struggling with that. You didn't want people to know you came from that family. You didn't want people to know you were feeling that way, but he allowed people to see you in that situation, but he also going to allow them people to see you come out and be used greatly of God. Are you in church today? And so here Paul finds himself at Areopagus, the highest judicial and legislative council. This was a prestigious place. This was not Paul on the corner talking to the police officer. Paul had been brought into the council, and he was there to defend the gospel. You know, some of us, we can't defend the gospel with our friends, let alone in front of the United States. Amen. And here Paul was so powerful, he was so courageous, and he had let down his life so that he was not afraid to go before people that could actually take his life. And when you have to understand the gospel, you have to be ready to lay your life down for the gospel. You may have to be ready to lay down your name. You have to be ready to be unashamed for the gospel. You know, though the day of the cute Christian is coming to a close end, you know, there are times when you got to get crazy and radical for God, and you can't worry about what nobody think, what nobody feel about you. You just know that you're doing something for God, and if I leave without you liking me, at least I told you the truth and I let God use me. And so there's coming a time where you can't worry about your name. You can't worry about how people feel about you. You can't worry about how cute your outfit is. You just need to deliver the message. Is anybody in church today? There's coming a season where the gospel must be defended in the high places, because they're taking prayer from this and they're taking this from that and they're moving this, and there will come a time when they're going to want our life for this, and we're going to have to defend the gospel in the high places. So this cannot be a person that does not be living and moving in the things of God. This must be a person that know God and is willing to put their life on the line and know that God is able to bring them out of harsh situations. The gospel is not something that you play with. It is something that you live out and it becomes you. The Bible says we are living epistles read amongst men. He wants you to go through such situations where you become the word. Oh, see, when you if you ain't never had cancer and you got cancer and God delivered you from cancer, your testimony of being healed is different. You become a person of healing. Are you in church today? If you've never had your heart broken, and somebody, I don't know, you know, these young people, you know, y'all go in and out of relationships. And sometimes, ladies and men, you get your heart broken. And I've had my heart broken in church, preaching, and my heart was broken. I'm going to class. I'm going to Bible school. I'm going into church, and I'm around my friends, and it seems like nobody can hear that my heart is screaming, I'm hurting. But I know a God that came in and touched my heart and delivered me. So when I say he's a healer and a mender of broken heart, I'm saying it because I am the one that's been healed. So I became that word. I'm not only saying something that's on my mind, I'm saying something I'm carrying in my spirit. Are you in church today? And so they felt, because they studied and sought knowledge, that they should know of this God. So they were wondering, who is this God that Paul is talking about? We've been studying, checking out some things, but they're trying to understand who is this God he's talking about. You have to understand that there's more to God than seeking information. He wants to be with you. I don't know if I got that over yet. It's more than just reading up on him. It's more than just knowing the stories. It's more than just studying. But he wants you to after you finish your homework, he wants you to put some worship music on if you need that, and he wants you to have some quiet time. And maybe you don't have that time in your dorm, but maybe you could go to your car, and that's the only place you can get quiet time, and he wants to commune with you. He wants to love on you. He wants to minister to you. He wants to get you beyond the insecurities and the depression and the hurts and the pains of life. Because if you keep living, things will happen to you. But he wants you to see that if you have a relationship with him, he will bring you out of anything that you go through. I'm sorry to tell you, I may be the first one to announce this to you, but just because you saved does not eliminate you from trials. And so you're going to come to some places in your life where you're going to need God. Maybe before you graduate, you're going to come to some places where you're going to get desperate for God. And God is asking you to come become more intimate with him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to walk with him. He wants to hold your hand. He wants to love on you. Is anybody in church today? Can I get an amen? Amen. So in verse 22, he said, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceived in all things you are too superstitious. So that caught my eye. I said, wow. He says, and I looked up superstition, said the belief or notion based on reason or knowledge in or the ominous significance of a particular thing, circumstance, occurrence, proceeding, or the like, a system or such collection of belief, irrational fear of the unknown, or mysterious, especially in connection with religion. Any blindly accepted belief or notion. Superstition. He didn't say it was wrong for them to be superstitious. He said they are too superstitious. And you know, when it said about fears, sometimes we are scared to praise God because we're worried about what the person next to us is going to think about our praise.
Right.
Well, you know, I really don't care about what you think about my praise because you don't have the power to bring me out of what I'm in. And so I'm going to praise him. I'm going to be like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus. Here I am, Lord. I need you now. Not another second, not another minute. I'm radical because I really need my breakthrough. I'm desperate for change. I'm not going to hide behind something that is a facade or hypocrisy. I need God now. I'm desperate when I came to him, and I'm forever desperate to know him more. And so I'm not going to live in a fear or superstition or, you know, something or what ifs, you know, what if? What if I stepped out and became whatever? He may use you more than he'd ever used you before if you decide to do something different. Can I guess a good place to put an amen? If you decide to do something that you've never done. You know, maybe you only put one arm up. Maybe you just need to put two up. You know, maybe you just stand there still. Maybe you just need to take a step forward and a step back. Amen? So, you know, start with something. You know, maybe you're up here now. Maybe you need to go down here now. Amen. There are times when I just change it around and I just do something different. There are times we come to service and I'm like, God, what is your assignment today? And I have a word to, you know, prepared. And I'm like, God, what is your assignment? What is it that you want to accomplish today? He said, I want the people to worship me. And so all we do, we get outside of the traditions and the religions and routines, and we just get on our face before the Lord, and we just come after him. And sometimes we get a much better word and a much better impartation when we just seek the face of the living King. Are you in here today? And there are times when you need to do something different. I lost half my church right there. There are times when you need to get out of the norm because, you know, when you come to the end of yourself, that's when you'll find God. And so there are times we do so many things the same way that God, you know, he's like, okay, I want you to seek me in another facet, in another dimension, so I can reveal myself in another way.
Amen.
And so he's going to make you very, very uncomfortable. He's going to make you very, very, you know, because those that really want God and those that really love God and those that really are after the heart of God, you know, we don't like it when we can't feel him. You know, those that just want him and just got to have his presence, got to have his touch. We are very, very uncomfortable when we can't feel him. And so there are times when you go through the routines and you can't feel him. It's because God is asking you to do more. The Bible says, seek him and you shall find him. Knock and the door shall be open. You know, the other day my daughter came to the door and I had both bolts locked. And so she knocked and she knocked and she knocked and she knocked and she knocked. And you know, after about the third or fourth knock, I wanted to get up, but me and my wife was having some private time and I didn't have time for that. She's going to have to come back later. But because she was so persistent, and she has a key, but she unlocked it, the lock, you know, but she forgot I got a deadbolt. And so she unlocked the lock, but because she was so persistent, I did what? I answered the door. And so I got up and I cracked the door and I said, what do you want? But the key of what I'm saying, the point of what I'm saying is that she was so persistent that I had to answer her. And God is like that. He says, seek and you shall find. He said, I'm at the door knocking. Won't you let me in? You know, he's saying, come after me, come after me, come after me, come after me. He's a God that won't leave you where you are. You are where you are, not because he wanted to leave you there, but you are where you are because you weren't persistent enough. And I found out that if I need anything from God, especially healing in my heart, healing in my emotions, if I just come after him enough, I'm going to find him. What a God we serve. That if I come after him, he won't leave me where I'm at. If I just become tenacious enough. Some of us, we don't want it enough. We don't want him enough. We don't love him enough. You forgot that. Wait, let me use myself as an example. I forgot that you used to be on drugs. You forgot that you didn't have a home at one time. Yeah, everybody in this room hadn't had the perfect life. You forgot that you know, mother has to take pills just to talk straight. You forgot that. So every now and then I got to rewind the tape of when I come home and the lights were cut off and we didn't know how we were going to heat ourselves in the middle of the winter. And then I remember how good a God is that he delivered me from those type of situations. And I say, I'm going to continue to come after him. I'm going to continue to love him because he's the one that delivered me from poverty. Is anybody in church today? And poverty is not money. Sometimes poverty is a mentality. You can have all the money but still have a poor mindset. And so you need him more than you know. And sometimes it's not that he's forsaken you or he's forgotten you. He wants you to come after him more. He wants you to reach out for him and to be desperate for him and be willing to be embarrassed by your pursuit. He wants people to look at you and say, look at them showing out in church. Know what she was just doing and now she's down there at the altar. Well, you don't know what she was dealing with before she came to the altar. You don't know the demonic assignment that has been attached to her life and she needs deliverance. You never know why somebody's coming to God. The people in the crowd didn't know, and I'm sure she knocked some people down when she had the issue of blood. They didn't know she was bleeding. But she knew, and she knew what it was going to take for her to just touch him a little bit. And there are times you're so low in your situation that all you need is one touch. God in 23 says, for I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, I declare unto you. They didn't understand that God had moved them from idol worship into relationship, but they were still operating beneath their privileges. They were operating in knowledge and what they knew of him instead of now he wants to know them personally. They were operating in who they knew God through mama and dad and cousin and uncle and this person that seems to know God and that person. When he had made it available for them to know him for himself. And so now they are seeking knowledge, which there's nothing wrong with that, but understand the privilege that God loves you and he wants to know you for himself. In 24, it said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God is not bound to a relationship with you at church. Some people, they are only saved when they show up on Sunday morning. But God is not bound to Sunday morning. It just says, he said he's not only there to be worshiped in the chapel or in the church, but he's to be worshiped on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in your dorm, in your car, at the grocery store, wherever you go. It's a life of worship. It's a life of loving him. Considering he made everything, he can be found everywhere. Some people think God is only in the church, but he made the world and he's everywhere. He's everywhere. You can go to the bank of the ocean. He's there. You can make your bed in hell. He'll be there. No matter where you find yourself, God is not too far away. Maybe you can't make it to church. God is not too far from you if you just call out on him. Are you in his place today? He does not dwell in the building that men made, but he is in the hearts of those that he created. So there are times when sister so-and-so over here don't feel God, or brother so-and-so in the back don't feel God. But Brother Smith and Brother Sue over here, they just enjoying God in a greater way. Why? Because God is in their hearts. And they're seeking God here and not here. Am I helping you today? And so in 27, it goes on to say that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, that they will come and seek his face, as I said earlier, and his presence, even though in our minds we know that he is not far away. That even in those times we don't feel him. Even in those times it seems that we've done too much and he's left us. You need to know this morning that he's never too far away. He's never too far that you can't reach him, that he don't hear you, that he don't know your cry. I know there are times, and I've been there, especially as a pastor, where I just feel like God don't hear me. Am I by myself today? You ain't going to say it, but I'll go and say it. There are times when I felt like he not listening to me right now. But I kept walking, I kept serving him, and I found out that he's not far away. Matter of fact, he draw nigh to those that are in trouble. He draw nigh to the weak, and he draw nigh to the hurting. He draw nigh to the people that seem like all hope is lost, because in that place is where he can show who he really is. He chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. So he goes on in verse 28. After he said, God is not far from us, and in my closings, for in him we live, in him we move, and we have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I'm not going to get into that part today, but in the Hebrew meaning, chaya means live, in him we live, meaning we sustain life, live prosperous, be quickened, live forever. When you're not quickened, that means you're not living in the presence of the Lord. Are you in church today? And so he wants us to live. He wants us to abide by him, because in him is our prosperity. In him our spirits are quickened when we are low. In him we are changed. In him we are transitioned when we live in his presence. Goes on to say, and we move. In the Hebrew means halak, to go, walk, come, depart, and have manner of life. I've come to find out that there are times that God tells me when I can leave. God tells me when I can go. He wants us to move in every step to be taken, because you don't know what's waiting on you outside the doors. There are times when God told me to hold up, but I didn't know it. Maybe there was a wreck waiting on me out on the highway. And because I waited, because I had a relationship with God, I missed being hit by a car and somebody else got in that accident. Are you in church today? Because I chose to let God direct my movements. In him we live. In him we move. We have our being. Being in the Hebrew means haya, to be, come to pass, existence, establish. We're not human doing, but we're human being. If you want to define yourself by your accomplishments, then you'll never be satisfied. But when you find God, you find fulfillment, and you cool with just being you. Yeah, I kind of used to be a shy guy, and what they gonna think about my clothes? Well, I want to announce to you today, I really don't care what you think about me. Because I'm fulfilled. And when you become fulfilled by God and you walk, and fulfillment comes from walking in the reason you were put here, no matter how it measures up to other people. Maybe you do have a bigger audience. Maybe you do have more money. Maybe you do have more prestige. But one thing I know, I do have God. Amen. I'm fulfilled. So in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. I'm cool with where I'm at. I don't need another dollar. Even though I'm believing God for more, I'm cool with just being. Are you in church today? In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. And so today I want you to understand that God is calling you and calling us to a place where every step is directed by the Spirit of the living God. He wants us to live our life. He wants every blessing to not come from man's hands. He wants every direction, every opportunity that you take, every time you move, every relationship you get into, every friendship,
He wants you to pray about it because in him we live. All failure comes when we live outside of the presence of the living God. And if we learn how to live in his presence, learn how to move in his presence, and learn how to just be who he says we are. If he tells me I'm successful, then I'm successful. I don't need what man thinks is successful to be successful. All I need is the whisper from the Father to say, keep going, son. I stopped striving to be something that God didn't call me to be because he spoke something to me. He said, if you reach one, then you've done a whole lot. So now I'm not crazed trying to build a 1,000-member church. I'm happy with the ones he sent me. I'm happy to be because in him I live, in him I move, and in him I have my being. So I don't walk around depressed because my successes don't measure up to the next man. I'm happy with who he's made me to be because I'm only who he made me to be because I abide in his presence. Won't you stand with me as we prepare to close in prayer and you can go about your day. But I've learned every time, every turn that I took without God, it didn't turn out so good for me. Amen. But every time I was patient, I suffered long. I stayed in his presence. I kept his word and I kept my faith. I was content. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. The world pulls on us to have stuff that we don't need so we can end up miserable. Yesterday I had lunch with a man. He's a wealthy man. And he began to cry. He said, he does not serve God. He said, God gave me everything I wanted. I have businesses. I have cars. I'm buying a new house. He said, but I'm lost. He said, I have a mistress across town. And I got this and I got that. I said, I'm lost. He began to cry. He said, I'm empty. There's a void in me. I said, God, you're a prodigal. I said, God is calling you back. And it doesn't matter how much money you have or how much success you have or how many people you can reach or how many Facebook friends you have or how many Twitter followers you have. None of that matters if you don't have a relationship with God. Amen. Don't let this world fool you into thinking that you can live, move, and abide without his presence. Amen. The children of Israel were not directed unless they followed the cloud, unless they followed the fire. We have to go back to just being led by the steps of God. And if he leads us to a dead end, it's okay because God led me here. Mm-hmm. If he leads me to a place that I'm uncomfortable in, it's okay, young man, because God led me here. Amen. If he leads me somewhere where I can't find my way, I just have to wait till he moves me to another place. I won't get myself out of the fire. I won't get myself out of the den. I'm going to wait till God bring me out because it's going to be to his glory. Amen. He led me here because he wants to show forth his power. And he's led you here. Some of you are in strange places. Maybe you chose this school and you don't know why. But God is ministering to you. Maybe you're here and you don't understand why you're feeling the way you are. You're feeling alone, but God is leading you here because he's leading you to have an encounter that you've never had before. Amen. That when you come out of these four walls, when you come out of this school and you graduate, you're going to know him better than you've ever known him. And that's what he wants, because in him we live, in him we move, in him we have what? Our being. Grab your neighbor.